I do not accept the existence of God. If there were someone like him, we wouldn't be in this state today. I mean, God should be ashamed of our condition and should have questioned his actions, saying, what am I doing?
If we discuss another piece of evidence, would you change your mind again?
I'll reconsider when I'm 50. There's the notion that humanity originated from Adam and Eve. Billions of people derived from two humans. How is this possible? My conscience is clear. I feel at peace.
I'll cross that bridge, Sirat.
A man with a white beard approached me. He greeted, "Salam alaikum." I looked here, I looked there. No man was there. He had vanished.
Can I upload this video on YouTube?
Of course, no problem.
Today's topic is beliefs. Do you believe in something?
I have faith in love. I don't adhere to any religious beliefs. You could call me an atheist, deist, or many other things. I'm a non-believer.
Do you acknowledge the existence of a creator? Because atheism denies the presence of a creator.
Well, I don't believe in the existence of a creator. I believe in energy. I don't accept the existence of a god like Allah in Islam. If there were a being like him, our current state wouldn't be like this. God should feel ashamed of our condition and question his actions, saying, what am I doing? The things that have led me to where I am today are those concepts about the origin of humanity. They simply don't make sense to me, those absurdities. I mean, Islam states that humanity originated from Adam and Eve. I mean, how is this possible? You know, billions of people from two humans. How does that work? I mean, from two humans, how can that be?
Let's consider this, brother. You see, there is one earth, but from that one earth, hundreds of thousands of different species of fruits and vegetables grow. Did hundreds of thousands of different things originate from one? They did.
Okay, that's correct.
From this perspective, if the creator can create all those entities from one earth, then it is reasonable to assume that hundreds of thousands of diversities can arise from a single human. This is a logical conclusion. Moreover, consider the following. When we examine things from a DNA standpoint, considering the transmission of genes, we can observe the potential for diversity. Today, we are aware that the genes of both the mother and father can vary and be passed on to the next generation. I mean, it's not far-fetched. Parents possess different characteristics. Thus, their child can inherit a blend of these features. Genes can be transferred, enabling diversity. Likewise, the Creator could have endowed Adam and Eve with diverse genetic traits expressed through their DNA. It is not illogical to conceive that all diversity originated from them. However, people today are born from regular mothers and fathers. Each generation is formed through parental reproduction. But when discussing the first man, as described directly from the earth, we can also examine it from a different perspective. Considering these three viewpoints, taking into account the three pieces of evidence, this is not an absurd notion. Now, brother, let me ask you this. Would you be open to reconsidering if we present another piece of evidence?
Well, I don't think so.
What if it makes logical sense and seems plausible?
I guess I'll entertain the idea once I reach 50. In other words, I'll at least follow your research.
Now, let's see. In fact, there are two real possibilities. Either matter is the driving force or there's a creator who shapes matter. Observing the universe, we witness two types of creation. The first is the emergence from nothingness. The second is the construction from pre-existing matter. When we examine these two forms of creation, if something arises from nothing, if an entity emerges out of non-existence, surely there must be an eternal being that has always existed independently. Because it does not exist, it cannot create itself when it does not exist. Right, brother?
Yes. Yeah.
That entity is already inherent in nothingness. For instance, let's assume you open your garage and there you find a Ferrari. You would think someone must have placed it here.
Yeah.
Likewise, we say, it's not as if the car appeared on its own. Similar to this example, if the universe came into existence from nothingness, there must be a cause that brought it into being. When we examine the matter, we observe its tendency to change. What does the law of entropy indicate? It states that matter deteriorates. Now, if matter is subject to decay and change, we can conclude matter cannot be eternal, because anything that changes cannot be eternal. It cannot be eternal. For instance, consider iron. It oxidizes and disappears, or matter wears out and ceases to exist. Hence, the matter is not eternal. What is eternal cannot undergo change. Therefore, I have ruled out the matter. I would say a creator, independent of matter, chose to bring it into existence from nothingness. Because this creator must be self-sufficient, existing perpetually. If it is not matter, then it must be the creator. We can now see the second type of creation. It involves constructing something by assembling others. Trees are created and animals are created. We can call it a process of building. Let's reconsider the second option. For something to be built, four characteristics must come together. What are these? Knowledge, will, power, and life. Knowledge is the possession of information. Will is the ability to make choices. Without the capacity to choose, one cannot build anything. Power is the strength to build. A paralyzed entity with no power and no strength cannot build anything. And fourth is life. If you lack life, if you're lifeless, is there even a need to discuss it?
No, there isn't.
Let's consider a small example. Imagine you're on a beach, and if you want to build a sandcastle, you must possess these four characteristics simultaneously. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be able to construct a single structure using the sand. Therefore, we say that every 3 seconds, a new person is born into the world, undergoing the process of construction. Millions of living beings, including animals and plants, and their variations. When we observe the diversity of these species, we realize that millions of living beings are constructed daily. Considering how these entities are built, the presence of the four features is indispensable. The knowledge or information, the will that involves making choices, the power or strength, and finally, life. We find no knowledge, will, power, or life when we examine the matter. Considering both options, 1, coming into existence from nothingness, 2, construction using existing materials. What do they indicate? They ultimately point towards the existence of a creator who brings the matter into existence from nothingness and continuously engages in the process of construction.
Now, as you attempt to persuade me and convey this information, you also aim to reach many people. Many people are listening, and I hope they will engage in our discussions. When you stopped me while I was passing by, I didn't anticipate it would lead me here. I believe that Islam is very similar to communism. Indeed, Islam shares similarities with socialism as well. He said, "You shouldn't sleep full when your neighbor is hungry." This is socialism. I'm saying the same thing. Unfortunately, it's not practiced. I mean, we wouldn't be able to change that, neither you nor I.
As far as I understand, you believe that people are highly flawed. Is that correct? People make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
Okay, let's focus on that. Let's talk about it right now. Let's set aside people and focus on knowledge. As we mentioned earlier, matter coming into existence from nothingness, building with matter. What are your thoughts on this reasoning?
There's nothing wrong with it. It makes sense, yes. Your theory is acceptable, thank you.
If you say, brother, what about people's mistakes? Shouldn't we consider it from this perspective? You say people make mistakes. I agree with that too. Of course, people make a lot of mistakes. That's precisely why we strive to rectify them, so that we can warn people. For instance, in a hospital, if a doctor intentionally kills people during surgery. Now, if the doctor keeps doing this and we find out about it, do we blame the doctor or the medical books?
The doctor.
Why? Because medical books don't endorse such behavior. People make mistakes. The doctor made a mistake. I blame the doctor and try to correct the doctor, but I don't frown upon the medical books. Similarly, Muslims can make mistakes. Some Muslims make big mistakes. If we blame the book, it wouldn't be logical. Why? Because people can make mistakes. When we examine what the book says, doesn't the Holy Quran tell us, do not harm anyone unjustly? Do the Hadith not teach us that? They do. Doesn't the Holy Quran command us to establish justice too? It does. So the information is correct, just like in those medical books. But just like a doctor can make mistakes, so can people.
I'm not entirely against religion. I know it. I've read it too. However, even if we continue talking until morning, my mind won't change. Because for the past 50 years, well, let's not say 50 years, since I've known myself since the age of 10 or 15, I've lived my life. If the situation is, as you described, yes, there is a creator, a God, and one day we will be held accountable for our actions in this life. There will come a time when we will be questioned. My conscience is clear. I feel at peace. I've never harmed anyone, not a single living thing, neither a human being nor an animal. I will cross that bridge, Sirat.
But brother, let me offer another perspective. You truly appear to have a kind soul, my brother. If there is a truth, it is inherent in human nature to speak the truth. When we perceive something as right and reasonable, shouldn't we ask ourselves, why should I conceal my thoughts? The Quran instructs us, you must affirm, you must believe. Now, if there is a creator and we have logically demonstrated his existence, certainly he would send a book. It wouldn't make sense for him to create and abandon us without guidance. Since he would send a book, he would say in that book, accept these, the 6 pillars of faith. You can accept these pillars and still disapprove of people's actions. But once you accept the 6 pillars of faith, there is no harm in doing so.
Does anyone around here do that? Anyone who fulfills all 6 pillars? In this country, I only see the same thing. Muslims who are devout on Fridays, only on Fridays, I see nothing more. On Fridays, the mosques are full, overflowing. But after that day, not a soul is in sight. The mosques are empty.
Again, we are discussing people's mistakes. People are fallible. We too make mistakes. Okay. Are we free of mistakes?
But didn't he bring people to life? Why did I choose not to believe? When I look around, I see believers. They've always hurt me. Did I make myself clear?
You enjoy participating in sports, don't you? I mean, engaging in sports is beneficial.
Yeah.
Let's imagine I organized a sports competition. The participants, the athletes, started fighting with each other. Division arose, and some even resorted to violence. Now, we can't blame the organizer of the competition, nor can we condemn sports as a whole. The issue lies with the individuals involved. People make mistakes, right?
You provide compelling examples, thank you. I believe it's too much,
So let's take steps to rectify them. Why have you forsaken your belief in Islam, brother?
Are you bidding farewell to me like this? Come on, let's go to the mosque, pray a few
rakahs.
Let me share an incident that happened to me. You might ask, you've gone through this. How did you become a non-believer? It was the year 88, 89. I was waiting for the bus near the mosque where a new bus line had been established. A man around 160 centimeters tall, bearded, white, with a white beard and bald, approached me and greeted me with Salam Alaikum, extending his hand. I responded, Alaikum Salam, extending my hand as well. He kissed my hand, placed it on his head, and walked away. I was bewildered, wondering what had just happened. I thought, why would he do that? Where did he come from? I turned around and entered the mosque. Gone. I searched around, but he was nowhere to be found. I went to the mosque's restroom. I looked here and there, but no sign of the man. He had vanished. It was as if he had disappeared into thin air. I experienced something peculiar like that.
Usually, stories like these bring people closer to religion. Why did it push you away, brother?
Yes.
Brother, then?
I don't know.
What do you say? Today, with these topics and logical inferences, wouldn't it be nice to return to Islam again?
I'll think about what you told me, the conversation we had, and I'll evaluate the meaning of the verses while reading the Quran, in light of our discussion.
I'm very pleased to have met you.
Nice to meet you too.
Take care of yourself.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We realize that 80% of our audience, including this video, are not subscribed to our channel. As you know, we are a non-profit organization and advertisements are disabled on our videos. Towards Eternity is not just a YouTube channel, but also a madrasa. Here we try to educate ourselves and the youth Islamically. So the only reason we are asking for this is to spread the truth. It may seem like a small act, but inshallah, it will help us reach millions of people. Now let's click the like and the subscribe buttons and let's together walk towards eternity.